Now the Russ Belville Show, streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
Zone called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, bringing to you live and direct the great Pacific Northwest Progressive Talk for the entire continent. Glad to have you here. Our phone number is 888-7-RADICAL. We just changed that a few months ago. You think I'd have it down by now. 888-7-RADICAL is the phone number if you want to get involved. We got plenty of things to talk about. They finally let Sarah Barracuda off of her chain and let her talk to an interviewer, an actual mainstream media journalist. And, oh, boy, we got plenty of clips and stuff to talk about that. Also, John W. McCain, still avoiding some of the serious mainstream media, decides to go on The View and talk to the ladies of The View. And they turn out to be tougher questioners than the mainstream media. So we'll get right to that. That should be a lot of fun. Before we get to all that stuff, let's, of course, welcome our friend, our favorite immigrant worker, the man from across the pond, our own Stevie Leewell.
Hello?
Stevie.
Hello?
How you doing, my man?
Hello?
Are you still there?
Hello?
Did the storms blow you away?
I can't hear you. The storms are blowing me away.
Wow. Oh, boy. We got so much to talk about today. And also, we've got a couple of great guest interviews this week. So coming up this hour, we'll be talking to, I believe we're talking to Jackie and Dunlap from Red State Update. Is that correct?
We should be. Yes, indeed.
All right. We'll get the Red State guys on there, see what their opinion is of the wit and wisdom of Sarah Palin. This should be interesting. Also, in our second hour, we're going to be speaking with author Merrill Runyon. Merrill Runyon is the author of a new book called Unite and Conquer, How to Stop Arguing and Stop Communicating About Politics. And she's here to talk about the nastiness in this campaign, the lies, the negative campaigning, what we can do to change it, and how we can get this dialogue back on track. And, of course, our regular features. We've got the Lunatic Fringe Awards coming up at the bottom of this hour and more regular Radical Russ goodness. So here we go. And before we get started on this, I just wanted to give a special thanks to some people that came and visited me and met with me this last Saturday. After the show, of course, I was involved with the Portland Hemp Stock out here in Portland, Oregon. And I had mentioned on the air that if you wanted to come meet, come on by, shake a hand. We'll talk a little bit on Saturday and Sunday out there in the park in Portland, Oregon. And sure enough, I had some Radical Russ listeners come and visit me. So I thought that was really cool. And I want to give a big thanks to all of you. Yeah, thanks to all of you who came out and wanted to say hi. You know, it's always nice to meet folks face to face and to
we
get
love
to know
you.
Yeah, it's good to know
we
that there's people. It's good to know there's people out there listening.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. And one person in particular, I got to tell this story. I'm at the Portland Hemp Stock, and I'm involved with the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and part of my gig there was to give some keynote addresses, some speeches about industrial hemp and marijuana prohibition and so on. Anyway, I'm backstage after getting off stage, and I'd just done one of my speeches, and I'm backstage, and they had all sorts of catered food back there, and I'm finally getting myself a bite to eat when one of my coworkers, comes backstage to say, "Hey, Russ, there's this gentleman who's been waiting out by the booth who really, really wants to meet you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, he's been waiting there for quite a while, and he's a bit older." I'm like, "Oh, all right. Well, I'll come right over and visit him." So you got to understand, this is, you know, a nice late summer day in Portland. It's probably about 85 degrees out, I suppose, nice and sunny. And I go back to the booth, and there's a guy standing there. I come out from backstage, and there's a guy standing there. The guy is literally 82 years old, right? Old guy, old man, kind of hunched over, and he's, you know, wearing slacks and a long sleeve shirt in the middle of this hot weather, and looks kind of frail. So I'm a little worried. It's like, wow, this guy's been sitting out here waiting for me for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 minutes. Who knows how long he's been there? So I come up to him and I say, hi, I'm Russ. And he goes, you're Radical Russ? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Radical Russ. And he goes, well, I listen to your show all the time. I'm like, wow, that's great. Glad to hear it. Anyway, to make this long story short, the guy comes back. We go off and talk about this. And this guy brought a tear to my eye, listeners. He tells me his story about how he had fought in World War II. And he was with the Marine paratroopers and at the Solomon Islands. And I kind of mentioned, you know, my grandfather fought in the Pacific Theater, too. So we kind of talked a little bit about World War II and all that. And then he got to the subject of my show and talking about the election. And he says, I'm an old man, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to the next election. Hell, I don't even know if there's going to be a next election with all those Diebold machines, and they might declare martial law and round us up in those Halliburton camps. I mean, the guy was really, really shaken, right? He's almost about to cry. His voice is breaking. And he says, I may not live to see the next election, but if you could just say one thing for me on the radio, and that is that Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Gonzalez are traitors, traitors to my country. I did not fight in World War II to support the Constitution for these men to shred it, and they are war criminals, and they deserve to hang. So there you go. I said it. I agree with you. I agree with you, sir. I totally honor your
Amen.
Sacrifice. Yeah, honor your sacrifice and your commitment fighting for this country, and you're absolutely right. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, they're war criminals. They do deserve trial as war criminals, and if they are guilty of what we believe they're guilty of, they deserve to hang. So, sir, thank you. Thank you for coming up to meet me at that, and I really appreciate it. And it meant a lot to me. I'm glad to know people are listening, and I'm glad to know that in some small way I might be, you know, maybe buoying people's spirits or motivating them to make change. And from now on, I'm going to be thinking about that man, that 82-year-old man who came to visit me and was so shaken, so disgusted by what has happened to his country that he had to come out on a hot day, stand out in the middle of a bunch of tie-dye hippie freaks like we are out there at the Portland Hemp Stock, so that he could get those words heard on the radio. So if you're listening, thank you. If you'd like to call in, I'd love to talk to you. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. Before we go on much further, let's get to the news. There's been a lot of news today and a lot of news this week, and I know that a lot of you are like me. You work a full-time job for a living. You don't always have the time to catch up on the newspaper or the evening news. So at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with
The Week in 90 Seconds.
Hoping to avoid tough questions, John W. McCain sits down with the ladies on The View.
Would you, as president, work to overturn that? And then would Sarah Palin be working to overturn Roe v. Wade?
I believe Roe v. Wade was a very bad decision.
Hoping to avoid tough questions, Sarah Palin sits down with Charlie Gibson of ABC News.
Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine?
In what respect, Charlie?
McCain complains that Obama used the phrase, lipstick on a pig.
I think they put some lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
Whoops. I'm sorry. I meant to cue the Barack Obama clip. How about this one?
I think they put some lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
No. Not that one. The Barack Obama comment.
The latest proposal I see is putting lipstick on a pig.
Oh, well, never mind. Hurricane Ike batters the coast of Texas near Galveston. The House is set to vote on expanded offshore drilling in exchange for ending oil company tax subsidies.
Drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill.
Meanwhile, the people collecting the public royalties for oil drilling are literally screwing the oil company execs at cocaine parties.
It's a ride, white line highway. Tell all your friends they can go my way.
The government bails out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. 2008 is now officially the deadliest year for our troops in Afghanistan.
But always remember this. Marines die. That's what we're here for.
And America remembers the 7th anniversary of the day a still-free Osama bin Laden orchestrated the deadliest attacks on American soil.
And like many more before them and after them,
They were all lost in the broad conflict that began 7 years ago today. You'll be there to defend the innocent from the enemies who planned and carried out and rejoiced in the death of thousands of Americans.
Mm-hmm. That's Sarah Palin up in Alaska in her job as governor, giving a speech before a regiment of her Alaska National Guard goes off to Iraq, and once again saying that they're defending America from the people that attacked us on 9/11, something that even George Bush won't say anymore. When will the lies stop from McCain and Palin? We'll be taking a look at that here for the rest of the hour here on the Russ Belville Show. And if you want to get in on debunking the lies, the phone number is 888-7-RADICAL. We're right back after these short messages.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Call Radical Russ now at 1-888-7-RADICAL. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. 21 after the hour. We're having some fun here in the studio and think we got all the kinks worked out, so hope everything goes good for this segment. And you know what we're going to be talking about here for most of the day, of course, is going to be this week of Sarah Palin and John W. McCain blatantly lying to the American people, outright lies, to the point where even the people in the traditional media, even AP and some of these news organizations, are actually using the L word. They're actually calling them the lies that they are, and it's not a moment too soon. Before we get to that, though, I want to bring up I want to bring up the Sarah Palin interview on ABC with Charlie Gibson. What a joy. You know, people have been asking my opinion on Sarah Palin and you know, what I think of her. And I have to say, you know, as a vice presidential candidate, you know, a disaster. But as a talk radio host, it's like manna from heaven. Like, I can't get enough of it. It's amazing that the Republican Party would look down on the American people to such an extent, would believe that we are so stupid that we would be willing to accept this person as a legitimate candidate for vice president of the United States. Of course, let's get the big clip right out of the way. This is Sarah Palin talking with Governor Sarah Palin talking with Charlie Gibson of ABC News regarding the Bush Doctrine.
Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine?
In what respect, Charlie?
The Bush, what do you interpret it to be?
His worldview?
No, the Bush Doctrine, enunciated September 2002, before the Iraq War.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa
I'm terribly sorry, folks. I think my computer cross-referenced the idiot beauty queen sound bank, and I accidentally got Miss South Carolina from 2007. I'm sorry.
It's easily done.
I know. The clips were so similar, it's so hard to tell the difference. Let's go out to the phone lines here. I've got Jerry in Pennsylvania who's driving through the great state. Jerry, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, hey, Russ. How you doing?
Great so far, man.
I just want to say hi. I listen to you on my way to work every Saturday. I only get the first hour, but it's always entertaining. Let's
thank you.
Say that. Yeah, just one comment on the Sarah Palin lady. I guess that's a nice term for her.
Very generous.
She doesn't have a clue about anything. I'm a retired 20-year Army veteran, and when I think that this person may have even a clue about how to do anything in the foreign world, it's scary. You know, I spent 9 years in Germany during my career, so that must make me one of the greatest foreign.
You've got the foreign policy expertise on Germany. Yeah, that goes right back to this quote.
What insight into Russian actions, particularly in the last couple of weeks, does the proximity of the state give you?
They're our next door neighbors, and you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska, from an island.
You can actually see Russia from Alaska, so therefore, yeah, she's totally going to understand what's going on in the Kremlin when Putin wants to do stuff with Georgia. Yeah, Jerry, you got it, buddy.
It's really scary that this person was selected by McCain. McCain is, well, I'm a lifelong Democrat, so I'd have never voted for anybody in the Republican Party anyway. But I just want to encourage all your listeners, I volunteered to help out at our local Obama office, and we got to get John McCain as far away from the White House as we can.
Yeah, completely agreed, Jerry. Thank you for your call. I appreciate that. Yeah, see, the selection of Sarah Palin is really easy to understand when you understand that the Republican Party is not about governing. They're not about running the United States. They're not about, you know, who's going to be the most qualified person to handle the complex international and domestic problems. Who's going to be the person who has the best understanding of foreign relations? Who's going to have the best understanding of the healthcare crisis? That's not the goal of the Republican Party. The goal of the Republican Party is to win elections. That's it. That's it. Win the election. Everything else after that is just 4 years of power grab, 4 years of consolidating power, 4 more years of putting your cronies into the positions of power in the government so that all of your industry buddies can get away with whatever they want to get away with. We'll be covering that in Under the Radar to talk about the whole mineral safety people and the whole sex and cocaine scandal coming up. But let's go to another call here at 888-7-RADICAL. I've got David in Minneapolis, Minnesota. David, are you recovering from the Republican convention up there?
Yes, just barely. The brown shirts are just about all off the street. you know, one thing that struck me when I was listening to Sarah Palin is she sounds a lot like George Bush.
Oh,
in my opinion, she doesn't sound like she knows what she's talking about. She sounds like she's reciting things that somebody else told her to say.
Yeah.
And I think this upcoming election's a test. You know, I think that they've put just about the least qualified people up on the Republican side. And if they can somehow manage to convince, 50.1% of the public that Obama is unacceptable and that this is a better alternative. I guess I'm a little afraid for, I don't see how we could possibly, have a better or a more stark difference between a qualified and capable candidate and somebody who's, in my opinion, just a joke.
Yeah. Well, you know, David, here's the scary thing. You know, I'm torn. Half of me says, you know, if America votes based on our ideals and our vision and what we could be and our best nature, then it's an Obama blowout. But if the people vote like what I see when I see Cops, when I see the Jerry Springer Show, when I see all of that, that's where I start to get afraid that there may be just enough of those people out there that so easily swayed by the rhetoric that they'll vote for him. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that. Let me get a point out here I want to get out before the end of the hour here, or the half hour. I went to give blood just the other day. I do this quite regularly, and I'm giving blood, and I'm talking to the intake nurse who asks you all the yes-no questions, and she starts asking me what I do. I say I have a political talk show. She says, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a liberal progressive talk show. And she says, oh, liberal. That's bad, right? Like bleeding heart liberals who stop people from building things? No, I don't think that's right. And so we talked a little further, and I talked about how I was going to be voting for Obama, and she goes, well, you know, Obama, he's not what he says he is. The other day, I heard him say his Muslim faith, and then he said he was Christian. So what is he? Is he Muslim or is he Christian? And I'm just dumbfounded. I'm gobsmacked just listening to this woman talk to me. I'm thinking, you've been to college. You've been to college. You're a medical professional. You had to have been to college. It's obvious you can read. You seem to be able to grasp the English language. How is it you could be so dumb when it comes to the political things? And it really got me my blood boiling. I'm talking to this woman, and I said, well, did you realize that Sarah Palin believes in rapists' reproductive rights? That she believes that rapists have the right to pick their baby daddy, and if the woman wants to abort, tough luck. It just got my blood boiling, and there's so many people out there like that. Let's keep talking about it. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL, and coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk to the Red State Update guys. That's right, Dunlap and Jackie, coming up after the break. We'll be right back.
and 620kpoj.com.
Radical Russ, your red state refugee. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's 35 after the hour, and you've reached the home for truly radical progressives.
In what respect, Charlie?
Well, I mean in the respect that we really, really believe in the progressive cause.
In what respect, Charlie?
Look, my name's not Charlie, lady. It's Radical Russ, and we just really believe we should talk about the issues in an intelligent way.
In what respect, Charlie?
Well, in the respect that you should know what you're talking about if you're going to be running for vice president. Blood pressure. All right, let's go to our interview here. We got a couple of guys on the phone. We love talking to you when we want to get the perspective from the red states. It's the guys from RedStateUpdate.com, Jackie and Dunlop. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Red Russ.
Hey, now, don't be picking on Sarah Palin like that.
Oh, you've opened up a can of worms here, Russ. Jackie loves Sarah Palin.
That's Jackie, right. What do you love about Sarah Palin?
Well, I tell you, first, when they first announced her, I didn't know too much about her.
But I told him everything he needed to know. She's hot.
She's hot.
She's got that, you know, librarian, let her hair down, take her on the tundra kind of thing going on.
I know what. I tell you what, they had that picture of her with it. It turned out it was fake, her and that bikini holding that gun. I tell you what, I can't look at that too long. I'm a married man.
Yeah, I heard that was photoshopped. And what's weird about that is I guess they photoshopped that straight out of my dreams, which is weird. I guess they can do anything with computers nowadays. But
computers are quite amazing, aren't they? So Sarah Palin is hot. She likes to hunt.
Yes, she definitely likes to hunt. She's one of the huntingest. She's the only huntingest person running. I mean, she's they say, well, it was Sarah Palin, could you go toe-to-toe with the resurgent Russia, you know?
Well, of course you could. Did you see that Putin shooting that tiger on TV? Suppose he wants to have a hunt-off. Who they going to have? It going to be her.
Well,
Sarah Palin's the only one running I know that can, you know, shoot an animal big
there
enough
you go.
To ride.
If international experience, and if all of our problems come down to a hunt-off between Putin and Palin, well, then perhaps we've got a chance.
See, Russ, things aren't so bad.
That's right.
Y'all need to just relax a little bit. Give her a chance. I mean, I that interview with Charlie Gibson, that was, I will say, her hotness has been diminished a little bit. Because it's more like a scolding mother of a girl I'm trying to date. That was kind of the vibe I got off that. So that did shrivel me up a little bit watching that, because I could tell that she has the possibility to be a very scary lady.
Well, let me give you a warning now. If you're gonna be dating any of those Alaskan girls, make sure you bring protection, because their moms aren't gonna tell them about it.
I'll tell you what. The only drawback to having Palin in the White House is, do we want a White House full of women that fertile? Because them Palins are some fertile women. They will birth you some babies. That kind of women I'm afraid to go around in bathing suits. You don't know what's going to jump out and latch on to them. It's scary.
So I guess then what you're telling me here is that the folks in the red states are falling in love with Sarah Palin here.
Let me tell you, what it is about Sarah Palin is she's relatable.
Very relatable.
I mean, she likes hunting, fishing, house full of kids out of control, son in the army, girl knocked up by some redneck kid, husband out riding around on recreational vehicles all day trying to get her sorry ex-brother-in-law fired. I mean, she's just like every woman in my family. Except, of course, you know, she's successful, yeah.
I mean, she's living a dream, Russ. I mean, hell, I bet every woman in similar situations wish they had a fun and easy hobby like being vice president, take her minds off their family. And women with five kids, I mean, being vice president going to be like taking a bubble bath to her.
Calgon, take me away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they say she's expanding the base. Hell, Sarah Palin doing that just with her immediate family.
Yeah.
So is there any way we can get you red states to just kind of wall yourself off and let her be the president of just you guys?
Well, that's the one thing that's just terrible about, you know, her running. If you vote for her, unfortunately, you got to vote for McCain, too. So
how's McCain playing out there in the red states?
Well, a lot better now. You got Sarah Palin attached to him at the hip. I mean, that's the smartest thing that man ever did. You know, this is a man that turned down getting released from a POW camp. You'd think he ain't got that many great decisions left in him, but he did something good with this. I mean,
I tell you what, everybody's saying she's a heartbeat away, all this stuff, but I mean, tell you what, I mean, that don't bother me at all. Hell, McCain's probably keel over from a heart attack if he wins.
That's right, just the surprise.
Yeah. Just the surprise of it. So, okay, let's go there. If that were to happen, God forbid, and Sarah Palin were to become the president, who do you think would be on her short list to replace herself as vice president?
Oh, wow, I can only imagine.
Ron White, so eating tater salad?
I'm going to give her an idea right now. Oh, Fred Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson-Palin ticket. Either way you flip that, that's just going to give Jackie pleasant dreams for the rest of his life. If you want Jackie's vote, you got to go Thompson-Palin.
I tell you what, that'd be the best ticket the Republican Party ever had.
Now, you know, guys, talking to my progressive audience, and by the way, we're talking to Jackie and Dunlap here from Red State Update. And what's your guys' website again, Red State Update?
RedStateUpdate.com.
Yeah, so check them out, and they've got a new album out that's called How Freedom Sounds. But I got to tell you, from the point of view of, us liberal, effete, Volvo-driving, latte-sipping New York Times-reading folks out here in the blue states, where everybody lives and all the universities are, we're a little scared because, we know there's a whole lot of y'all out there, and you're all into this whole Sarah Palin thing. So what do you think the chances are that this is actually going to happen, that they could actually win this thing?
I think either way, Sarah Palin is the new Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's the way we've embraced her down here. And Ronald Reagan had this going for him. He had a bunch of kids, but he didn't talk to them. So, I mean, Sarah Palin's even better than Ronald Reagan in that respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Sarah Palin has rejuvenated the Republican Party to the point that we don't need any of the other Republicans. Because, truth be told, they kind of suck.
I can't remember half of who they are most of the time anyway. I don't.
Yeah, they always come out some kind of sex scandal, or they're up there, pork and all that. This Sarah Palin's the breath of fresh air, breath of blood and perfume-scented air. We don't just dwell. We talk to Ralph Nader yesterday. We interviewed Ralph Nader. We're going to have that up on our website next week. Now, that's somebody for your universities and your Volvos.
Yeah. Now, what did Ralph Nader...
We made sure to ask him what the Bush Doctrine was. And, of course, he knew, because, if it weren't for him running in 2000, there wouldn't be no Bush Doctrine.
So, right. So, of course, he knew what it was. I don't know what the Bush Doctrine is, but I know that any way you go, if it's about President Bush, the band Bush, actual shrubbery, or the other thing, I'm for it. So anything with Bush in the title is good.
You're pro Bush then, right?
Absolutely. Any way you wanna parse that.
Well, it sounds a little scary to me. I think we'll just leave that right there. All right. So as far as Red State Update guys, as far as you guys are going, what's next? Are you guys appearing anywhere on tour? Anything we got to plug for you guys?
Well, we think we're going down to the we're going to be at the debate, at least the debate up in Nashville.
Yeah.
We'd love to go to the vice president debate. I think that's in St. Louis, where maybe we can see Sarah Palin in person.
That'd be good. Yeah, I don't care nothing about these debates. It's going to be miserable. It'll be like something, an old man telling war stories and somebody lecturing you, like a teacher or something. The Obama and McCain debate going to be boring.
Yeah, but Sarah Palin and Joe Biden, that's going to be awesome.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The biggest drunk in the bar picking on the meanest woman in the bar. That's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be like Roadhouse.
Man.
That would rule.
I tell you what, if you had anybody from Roadhouse running, that's how you get the Red States. You won't beat Sarah Palin, see if you can get Patrick Swayze on the ticket.
That's what I was going to say. With the Patrick Swayze Chuck Norris ticket, perhaps. I don't know.
That would be good. See, now you're thinking like a Red Stater.
See, that's that Idaho boy in me coming out, I guess.
You can't escape it, Russ. Just give in. Come back to us, Russ. We missed you. Yeah.
That's like the Children of the Corn.
Come back, Russ.
No, I'm sorry, guys. After that poster I got from you two, I'm afraid of banjos playing every time.
Well, lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, talk about lipstick on a pig.
But a lot of people, Obama said that's a gang, lipstick on pig.
We don't want to defend Obama, but in this case, yeah.
It's a game, Pretty Pig. You play Pretty Pig, right? That's a big game.
But a lipstick on a pig, you and four of your buddies get together, get a pig dressed up. If there ain't a pig available, one of your buddies plays a pig, dress him up. Yeah, it's a game, like you said. It's a game.
I don't think I ever played that game when I was living in Idaho, but I
never played Pretty Pig.
Pretty Pig.
Never played Pretty Pig, but hey, guys.
I have so much left of the country to explore. It sounds so exciting.
Oh, yeah, Stevie, you got to get out one of these
so
days.
So many things I've never seen.
We'll take you across the great red states of this country. And guys, Jackie and Dunlop from RedStateUpdate.com, thanks for stopping by here to the Russ Belville Show. Always appreciate your insight.
Anytime, fellas.
Good talking to you, fellas.
Right on. It's 45 after the hour. This is the Russ Belville Show. We're right back with the Lunatic Fringe after this break.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Still waiting for Bill O'Reilly's response to our Lufa Joust and Falafel Off. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back to the show. 49 after the hour, and it's time for our Lunatic Fringe.
The lunatic is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the guano loco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban and the cable news punditocracy, the Russ Belville Show presents
the
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most bizarre, hateful, or ignorant quote of the week. Oh, boy, we got another good stable of them, and not including Sarah Palin or John McCain, because I need a five-hour show for that one. Our first one here addresses that story I was telling you earlier. I went to give blood, and the nurse woman taking my internal or intake, whatever they call that, got in a political conversation with her, and she just spewed a lot of the right-wing talking points. We can't trust Obama. He might be secretly a Muslim, blah, 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 blah. And one of her quotes, or one of the things she was talking about, was how, I heard Barack Obama the other day admit that he was a Muslim and then try to change it to say he was a Christian. So I had to dig this one up. I'm like, well, what the heck are you talking about? It turns out she was talking about Barack Obama sitting down with ABC News's George Stephanopoulos. Now, Stephanopoulos, the context of this was talking about how John McCain and how these campaign ads come out and question whether Barack Obama's a Muslim. Is he a Muslim? These talk radio hosts, they say, is he a Muslim? The talk radio people, is he a Muslim? Is he a Muslim? Is he a Muslim? Is he a Muslim? And all Obama was trying to do was to say that John McCain himself and John McCain's campaign haven't tried to call him a Muslim. They haven't tried to insinuate that he has a Muslim faith. So in saying that, he kind of made a slip of the tongue. So here's the quote.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith. And you're absolutely right that has not
Christian
come
faith.
My Christian faith. And, well, what I'm saying is he hasn't
his
suggested that I'm a Muslim. And I think that his campaign upper echelons have not either.
Okay, so that's the quote. You know, he said John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith in the context of saying he hasn't tried to insinuate that my faith is being a Muslim, right? Well, of course, subtlety is nothing that the right wing is so good at. And of course, all the right wing talking heads jumped on this. I'll just give you one from one of our favorites, Michael Wiener Savage.
Obama has admitted he's a Muslim. ABC immediately covered for him. In fact, if you listen to that clip, George Stephanopoulos, a hack for Bill Clinton, immediately says to him, you mean your Christian faith? He didn't even realize he slipped the tongue. He was telling you what he was thinking.
So Barack Obama can make a slip of the tongue about his Muslim faith, and no less than, I counted them, I collected all these, no less than 9 different talk radio outlets and these right-wing talking heads had to say, oh my God, he made a gaffe. He said he was a Muslim. And yet Sarah Palin can lie, outright lie, about not supporting the Bridge to Nowhere 31 times. 31 times. And, you know, nobody's making a very big deal about that. Let's go on to the regular lunatic fringery here. Brian Sussman, we've played him a couple times. He works out there in San Francisco on KSFO in San Francisco. And he was talking about the whole lipstick on a pig controversy, you know, that supposedly Barack Obama was calling Sarah Palin a pig or lipstick or something like that. And in doing so, Sussman's theory here is that since Barack Obama's a Muslim, he has a second-class view of women.
Can't use his middle name, Hussein. Well, guess what? You were born with a dude, Barack Hussein Obama. Muslim names all.
I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries. Now go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
Sorry about that. I couldn't resist. So there he is, Sussman taunting Barack Obama. Barack Hussein Obama, Muslim, Muslim, Muslim. And his caller agreed with him.
Listen, I really think that he said it on purpose, and I think it's a little indicative of the Muslim attitude towards women.
Well, there's no question that Muslims, at least the religious ones, look at women as second-class citizens. That was just a low blow. He should not have made the remark. I don't know if it was his father's genetic DNA welling up with inside of him or not, but I'll tell you something. It was stupid.
Brian, you are alleging that Barack Obama's so-called Muslim DNA caused him to have a second-class view of women, and in doing so would use the metaphor of a pig, something the Muslim religion eschews, something the Muslims don't eat or like. Okay, guess I don't understand it. Anyway, let's go on to another one of the backbenchers, somebody in the AA leagues here. This is a talk radio host named Mark Belling. He's out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he's talking about in the city, how come the potholes in the city aren't getting fixed like he'd like them to get fixed. And remember the right wing, these are the people that talk all the time about us being sexist, that we say lipstick on a pig, we're being sexist against Sarah Palin, we're the sexists over here on the left. This is Mark Belling talking about potholes.
Obviously, they can't get to every pothole every day. That's why it takes the average. It's 7 days for the average pothole, but 11 for the pothole in the inner city. Some potholes get patched quicker than others. What's the process that determines which potholes get patched the fastest? I'll tell you what it is. It's who, can I use this word? When you think of Hillary Clinton, what do you think? What word comes to mind? Yes, can I use that word here? All right. It's who bitches the most.
Yeah, we're the sexists over here on the left, but he once again wants to call Hillary Clinton a bitch. Okay, I guess that's the way it works when you're a Republican. But none of those guys are going to win my Lunatic Fringe Award for the day. I've got to get the Lunatic Fringe Award today to Dana Perino, the spokesbot for the Bush administration, their little spokesperson, talking on September 11th as the reporters were questioning her about Osama bin Laden, how he's still running free 7 years later after Bush said get him dead or alive, and you'll just be amazed by this one.
But Osama bin Laden is the one, you keep talking about his intentions, and yes, they are very important, but Osama bin Laden was the mastermind of 9/11.
Now, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the mastermind of 9/11, and he's sitting in jail right now.
Well, wouldn't this White House's opinion...
So, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is now the mastermind of 9/11? Not Osama bin Laden? Not, we're going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive? Not... the Osama bin Laden from 2004, that if we didn't vote for George Bush, John Kerry was going to allow Osama bin Laden to attack us again. That Osama bin Laden, he's not the mastermind of 9/11 anymore. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is. I wonder how that happened.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him.
Yeah. So Dana Perino, for demonstrating the incredible ability to rewrite 7 years of history and George W. Bush talking points, you are the winner of this week's Lunatic Fringe Award. You know, it's just really amazing to me how they can just rewrite history, rewrite all the talking points, rewrite reality. You know, there was that famous quote from a while ago where they said, you know, we live in the reality-based world, and that really doesn't matter because Republicans make their own reality. They're the actors in the world, and soon we'll be studying them. Yeah, I think we'll be studying this decade for a long, long time. At least I can hope so, unless Palin gets us to study creationism instead. I'm Radical Russ. We'll be back at the top of the hour with more of the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now the Russ Belville Show. Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
From the free speech zone called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
Welcome back to hour two of the Russ Belville Show, live and direct here from the great Pacific Northwest, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, broadcasting from this free speech zone that we call America. Glad to have you here. We're discussing, well, mostly Sarah Palin and John McCain's massive liapalooza over the past week. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL if you want to get involved. Yeah, this is getting to be quite unbelievable and exasperating, watching this campaign devolve into just pure lies, just absolute bald-faced lies. At least when you had George Bush running for office, he kind of would fudge a little, tell a half-truth, kind of massage the facts a little bit. Not now. They just come right out and blatantly lie. Sarah Palin has been giving the same speech on the stump for a week or two now, where she has said that she said thanks to no thanks to the Bridge to Nowhere, even though she fully wanted and supported the Bridge to Nowhere, and even after it was canceled, kept all the money. 31 times. Even to the point now where some in the mainstream media are forced to come out and call her a liar. And John McCain is just as bad getting out there and lying, saying things like,
"You have been in Washington, Senator, for 22 years as a congressman and a senator. The Republicans have been in power for the last 8 years. So, and I can understand why the Democrats talk about reform. But who is it that Governor Palin is going to reform? You? The Senate? The Congress? The Republican
That's
Party?
A good line. By doing what she did in
what,
Alaska.
What is she going to reform specifically? Senator.
Well, first of all, earmark spending, which she vetoed $500 million worth in the state of Alaska.
So that's what he wants to say, is that she's a reformer. She's against earmark spending, except for the fact in the past 2 years in office, Alaska has requested nearly $750 million in special federal spending, by far the largest per capita request in the nation. Not to mention her 2008 op-ed in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner, where she said, quote, her role at the federal level is simply to submit the most well-conceived earmark requests that we can. And in February 2008, when Palin sent a memo to Ted Stevens, the senator from Alaska, a 70-page memo outlining almost $200 million worth of new funding requests for the state. And in her most recent request for earmarks, she requested millions of federal dollars from everything from improving recreational halibut fishing to studying the mating habits of crabs or the DNA of harbor seals. John W. McCain, what do you think about the kind of earmark spending that studies the DNA of critters?
We'll shame them, my friends. We're never going to spend $3 million again to study the DNA of bears in Montana.
I see. Harbor seals DNA in Alaska, that's okay. Bears in Montana, not so good. Maybe because it's run by a Democratic governor in Montana. Let's go to the phones here. I know they're just lighting up here on this Sarah Palin business. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. Let's go to Bud, who's been holding in Georgia. Bud, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm great, man.
I was listening to you a couple segments back when you were talking about the woman and when you were giving blood in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I just came through South Carolina. I had to drop some equipment off up there, and I live in the Florida Keys, which is bad enough. I've been arguing for 7 years about Bush down there, but up in South Carolina, they're like a day behind on the talking points from Fox, and no matter what is heard on the rest of the networks, the Republicans listen to Fox News. That's the only place they get their information. And so it's just so exasperating when you talk about any voting record of McCain or anything. They look at you like a cow looking at a train, you know. it's just crazy, and it's so exasperating.
Well, here's the problem. Here's what's going on, Bud, is that, you know, the Republicans have learned a very valuable lesson through the election of George W. Bush in 2000 and 2004. And what they learned is that issues, facts, reality, intelligence doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They treat the election of president kind of like American Idol. You know, the idea here is that, ooh, there's someone I could have a beer with. There's someone I can relate to. There's someone who shares my values, who's a person just like me. Well, excuse me if I expect the president and vice president of the United States to not be just like me. Excuse me if I think they should be smarter than me. They should have more experience than me. They should have more education than me. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. No, I totally agree. But if there's no... When we're listening to you guys or Keith Olbermann or anybody else, at least I temper it with the other side of the argument. And
sure.
They don't. I mean, there's no, I've been arguing with contractors in Key West. I've been a contractor most of my life. And they just fall in step. You know, the guy that was kidding about the brown shirts have gone from Minnesota. That's really the way it is. They just fall in line and they don't want to hear, you know, if you tell the guy, listen, you have daughters and a wife and McCain voted against the equal pay for equal work, right? They look at you and they just go, man, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, but he was a POW. You see, he was a war hero,
yeah,
so that doesn't matter.
Years ago.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and that's wearing out. You know, it's like what Biden said about Giuliani. It's, you know, blah blah 9/11.
Noun, a verb,
say.
And POW, exactly. Bud, thank you for your call. I got other calls hanging on, so I got to get to them. But yeah, isn't it amazing how they can just turn things around and attack someone on their strongest point, right? Like, you remember in 2004 with John Kerry? John Kerry is a certified war hero. So what did they do? They turned war hero into a liability. They turned it into, oh, the purple band-aids, and he faked his medals, and he was against Vietnam, all that. They're doing the same thing now. We've got John W. McCain, a guy with 9 houses who's been in Washington for 22 years and has a multimillionaire heiress wife, calling the guy who grew up on food stamps with a single mom an elitist. We've got a woman in Sarah Palin who's been to 6 different little colleges, junior colleges, a hockey mom mayor, calling a Harvard graduate U.S. and state senator inexperienced. It's amazing. All right, let's go to another call. I got Dave in Chicago. Dave, welcome to the show.
Russ, you couldn't have anybody better than me on the very next phone call. That guy should look up the book, John Dean, Conservatives Without Conscience. John Dean, Conservatives Without Conscience. You learn all about right-wingers. I've learned how to talk right-wingers down. Knowledge and reason. That has nothing to do with the argument. They're authoritarians, and you got to go through the mirror before they go through the mirror, you know, like Alice in Wonderland. So, anyway, what I got for you, though, is the picking of a far right-wing female Christian zealot is a cutting stunt on the part of John McCain, but it's unlikely that it was actually John McCain's pick, right?
Right. Oh, he wanted Lieberman or Ridge or somebody.
Yeah, it got shoved down his throat, I think. But there is, I believe, a very large psychological problem here for the conservatives, and here it is. Having studied right-wingers like I have, conservatives enjoy having daddy in charge, but if daddy dies, mommy's in charge, and that will drive conservatives right through a ceiling tile, right?
Yeah, my thought here was to kind of emasculate John McCain and say, gee, all the attention's been on Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin, does it bother you that Sarah Palin is what made your ticket popular? And then just let that McCain anger simmer. He's going to blow up one of these days on camera.
There
you just watch.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, and one more thing. This is really great, too. On the aspect of the geopolitical knowledge through osmosis of living close to Russia,
yeah.
Not only do you have to be able to see Russia, you got to be within arm shot of the paper boy and able to read Russian to get anything out of that.
Yeah, exactly. I can see Russia. I just don't understand why all the R's are backwards. What's up with that? Thanks, Dave, for your call. I always appreciate it. Let's get one more in here real quick. I've got Ollie in Arkansas. Ollie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, thanks for taking my call. This is the first time I'm calling in your show.
Go right ahead.
And I just, with all due respect, I just wanted to express my opinion. And what I really think, the Republicans are not stupid. They know what they're doing. The big chunk of Republicans, like, they believe, they think they are religious people. And they are very hateful to most of the things which don't look like and act like them. And in this particular situation, it's Islam and Muslims. And they believe by voting for McCain and Palin, they would be able to extend this so-called war on terror against other Islamic countries and Muslims.
Yeah.
And they don't believe that Democrats can do that. And one of the reasons Democrats are not winning the argument, because they are not speaking the truth either.
Well, I wish I could go into more depth with you on that one. I've got to take a break here and get to an interview, but thank you for your call, Ollie, and feel free to call in again. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL, but coming up in the next segment, we're going to be speaking with Merrill Runyon, who's the author of Unite and Conquer, How to Stop Arguing and Start Communicating About Politics, and maybe she's got some tips for us. We'll be right back here. It's 17 after the hour.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. And 620KPOJ.com.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger-flipping, public school-educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
Welcome back to the show. 21 after the hour. Joining us by telephone right now is the author of a new book called Unite and Conquer, How to Stop Arguing and Start Communicating About Politics. And we're very happy to have Merrill Runyon joining us. Merrill, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And on a personal note, let me thank you for joining us a week early. I messed up on my scheduling here and somehow booked you for the 13th when it was supposed to be the 20th. And so I apologize, but thanks for joining us early anyway.
Hey, Seth. I'm really happy to talk because I'll tell you what, this is such a hot topic right now since things have really amped up.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, coming up in this this political election, very important election, we've got Islamist extremists, you know, terrorism that we have to worry about, the economy's in tatters, we've got a mortgage crisis, a credit crisis, Russia has loose nukes, they're invading the sovereignty of Georgia. So, of course,
I thought we had a lipstick problem.
That's what I was going to say. Isn't that the most important thing we need to talk about, is whether or not Obama meant something with lipstick?
Yeah, so excuse me for stepping on your line.
It's okay, man. But that's kind of my point here, is that how is it that our political discourse always devolves into these stupid nothing issues instead of what's important, and how can we get back to that?
Well, and the real that is the real question. How can we get back to that? And the only way we can get back to it is if we as individuals decide that this is what we want to hear about. Now, I am with everybody else where I've been glued to the latest news about the new VP pick, but we have to have the awareness of the fact that this is a distraction. And what do we really want and need to be talking about? And Unite and Concur, it's actually not Conquer, it's Unite and Concur, is about having dialogue and conversations, reasonable discussions with each other, because this is supposed to be a democracy. We're supposed to be collaborative with each other instead of combative.
You know, it seems like there's a lot of us that are trying to have this reasonable discussion, that we try to bring up the issues, but, you know, what we get back from, and frankly, not just the media, but from a lot of the American people, is this, this focus on the nothing sort of issues. I mean, a lot of us want to try to blame the media for bringing this up, but would the media be bringing this up if the American people didn't want to eat it up?
Well, that's true. I mean, we're going with what sells, and McCain's, campaign has said that they couldn't get any attention when before they started amping up with the attacks. I mean, they have clearly that this new approach to the political campaign, it has driven the narrative, and they're going to keep doing it because it works. And it works because they kick the ball, we chase the ball, we don't pay attention to the real issues and keep our eye on the real ball, which is the things that you're talking about.
So, is the way back to just, you know, not even dignify it with a response and to just go right to the substance of issues?
Well, I do think we need to address it to some extent. But I also think that as we need to see ourselves as all having a responsibility to be very, to be reasonable, factual, accurate, in our conversations, and just to bring each other back to sanity. Now, so that when people send us emails, even if we agree with the content of the emails, but they have a high emotional quality to them, that we bring it back to our own passion about talking about the right issues instead of the kind of reptilian kind of approach that has dominated the narrative.
We're speaking with Meryl Runyon. She's the author of Unite and Concur, How to Stop Arguing and Start Communicating About Politics. You can find more about that on the web at www.uniteandconcur.com. I'm glad you brought up that point about the reptilian brain and how we were so quick to jump on the issues that have anything to do with emotionalism or fear. Mm-hmm. You know, George Bush proved that in spades over the past two election cycles. What can Barack Obama and Joe Biden do to leverage that? I mean, there is a legitimate fear of terrorism. There is a legitimate fear of our economic situation. How can they leverage the fear angle and take it to a more intellectual side to discuss the real issues?
Well, the thing is that we don't want to lose our reptile. We just are in a reptile because that is our survival instinct. But that needs to be coupled with our emotional nature, the heart, and the things that we really care about, and also with the intellect. And it's been quite clear that being a policy wonk doesn't win elections. That going into great detail about policies doesn't win. What is effective and what gets people's attention is when we can say what we mean what we say in a very clear and concise way. And my catchphrase, for all of my books, I've got 5 books out on communication, and my catchphrase is say what you mean and mean what you say, but don't be mean when you say it. But absolutely, have the passion. We've got to separate the passion from the slime and the negativity.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, I think we saw a flash of that at the Democratic convention when Barack Obama was giving his acceptance speech, and he brought out the litany of Bush Cheney of the past 7 years, and just that one word, enough, you know, conveyed that passion that so many people in America are feeling. You know, I agree that a lot of people out there don't know the nuts and bolts, wonky type policy stuff. They just know things are bad, and that's what we need to get back to.
Right. That's what we need to get back to. And we also need to get back to the positive vision, because that's what was created at the Democratic National Convention, at least for the Democrats it was. Hmm. And then when Sarah Palin did her acceptance speech, there was a strong reaction, and there was a strong negative reaction that actually gave the opposition, the right, a lot of ammunition. A lot of examples of see they're sliming her. Whereas if we've been able to stay in balance and stay centered, if the left has been able to stay in balance and stay centered and to just ask reasonable questions and not get so emotional, well, the campaign might well have found plenty of ammunition individuals wouldn't have.
Yeah, I think part of it, what happened for those of us on the left, we were so shocked and insulted by the pick, it was just almost, it was just like a slap in the face. It was really hard to collect ourselves and ask, you know, substances questions when we're given such a poor nominee, at least.
And the left went into reaction. There's no question about that. I said, not necessarily the campaign, but in terms of the blogosphere and individuals, the left went into a strong reaction, which actually is a giving away of power. Now, the first step in Unite and Concur, the first step in having a conversation with a political bully, is to stay calm. Because you lose, you completely give your power away, and it's also they dictate to you when you're in reaction, you don't stay calm. Yeah. And that didn't happen. I think a lot of it, Russ, because the left, it was such a love fest that the left was all opened up, and that was kind of like you've been making love all day and then you drive out and get a ticket that you didn't deserve or something.
Yeah.
As you get pulled over to the side, you're not quite as ready to handle it as you might be.
I think you're right, and we have been speaking with Merrill Runyon, who's the author of Unite and Concur, How to Stop Arguing and Start Communicating About Politics. Learn more at www.uniteandconcur.com. Unfortunately, I'm at the bottom of the hour here, Merrill, so I'm going to have to bid you adieu, but thank you so much for stopping by the Russ Belville Show, and stop by again sometime. We'll talk some more.
Well, that was fast, but hey, it was fun. Thank
it was
so
fast
much.
And fun. We only got 2 hours and got to get as much in as we can.
Absolutely.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
A lot to talk about.
Thank you. This is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives. Stay tuned. We got your calls coming up at 888-7-RADICAL.
America's Double R7 secret agent of progressive change. The name's Belville. Russ Belville. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back to the show. It's 35 after the hour. Glad to have you here. The phone number is 888-7-RADICAL. We're talking about the week that was in the lives of John W. McCain and Sarah Palin, both of them having extensive interviews. John McCain went on The View to talk to the ladies there, who actually turned out to be tougher questioners than most of the mainstream media. And Sarah Palin, of course, went in front of Charlie Gibson for a couple of deer in headlights, or I guess moose in headlights moments. So we've got some clips from some of those. I just wanted to ask Senator McCain a question, though. You know, Senator McCain, part of the, you know, reason that we want to elect someone for president is we need someone who's got strong experience in foreign affairs and all of the things that are happening in our country these days. So Senator McCain, can you explain why you would be a good pick experience-wise, you know, compared to anyone else?
I am prepared, need no on-the-job training. I wasn't a mayor for a short period of time. I wasn't a governor for a short period of time.
Okay, so you're prepared because you weren't a mayor for a short period of time or a governor for a short period of time. So I just need to ask Sarah Palin, since you were just a mayor for a short period of time and you were just a governor for a short period of time, do you think that Senator McCain is saying that you're not experienced?
In what respect, Charlie?
Well, I mean, in the respect that, you know, you're just a mayor and a governor, and McCain just said that, you know, that wasn't enough experience to be president.
In what respect, Charlie?
Well, I mean that you need to, and first of all, quit calling me Charlie. First of all, you need to have a little bit something more than being the mayor and being a short-term governor. Never mind. Let's get past that. Anyway, talking about John McCain, like I said, he was on The View, and he had a couple of good questions that were asked of him by the ladies there at The View, and I thought this one was quite interesting.
You know, you used to be more of the maverick, then you sort of turned.
In what way?
Well, you became much more lockstep, I think, with your party, with George Bush's policies. I don't see the old John McCain, who used to really buck the system as much, because I can understand why. You want to get elected. But, you know.
I've been through this litany before when I say, okay, what specific area have I, quote, changed? Nobody can name it. I'm the same person that I always was. I'll be glad to have Whoopi do it.
Yeah.
But the point is that I'm the same person, and I have the same principles,
okay,
and I have the same issues, whether it be spending, whether it be climate change, whether it be the conduct of the war in Iraq, whether it be torture of prisoners, no matter what it is, and fighting excess and wasteful spending, I'm the same guy.
He is the same guy. John McCain is the same maverick, whether it comes to spending, climate change, Iraq conduct, torture. He's the same guy. He hasn't flip-flopped. Yeah, well, folks, I'm sitting here with in my hands holding a 17-page list of 42 of John McCain's flip-flops. Let's just spin the wheel and see where it comes down to. All right, the John McCain flip-flop wheel. Let's see. Come on, big bucks. No whammies. Spending. One of those things that you said you hadn't flip-flopped on. The McCain campaign has said that it will balance the budget by the end of McCain's first term. But Chief Economic Advisor Douglas Holtz-Eakin said McCain would balance the budget by the end of his second term. Spin the wheel. Ah, oh, here it comes. Yeah, yeah. Torture. Oh, yeah, we're going to hit torture. Torture, yeah. Another thing he said he didn't flip-flop on. Well, in 2005, McCain pushed President Bush to sign a bill that would, quote, prohibit cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment of anyone in U.S. government or custody. But in 2008, McCain voted against the Intelligence Authorization Bill, which requires the CIA to abide by the anti-torture statutes. Let's spin the wheel. Iraq, climate, torture, there we go. Oh, yes, conduct of the war in Iraq. He said he's not really flip-flopped on that. In 2004, John McCain said that Donald Rumsfeld was doing a fine job and was an honorable man. But by 2008, McCain was arguing that he was the only one that said Rumsfeld had to go. Let's spin the wheel. Goody, climate change. Yes, climate change. Another thing that he told Barbara Walters he's always been the same on. In 1999, McCain opposed lifting the ban on offshore drilling, said it just advocates the special interests of Washington. In 2008, McCain announced that there are areas off our coast that should be open to exploration and exploitation. That's right, just four of the 42 John McCain flip-flops from 2000 to 2008. You can catch some of those up on thinkprogress.org/McCain-flip-flops. That's thinkprogress.org/McCain-flip-flops. Now, there's plenty of lies there, and, you know, we talked about him lying about the all those items, about how Sarah Palin supposedly vetoed earmark spending, even though she's requested $750 million in spending in her 2 years as governor. But let's go to Sarah Palin for one of these lies here. This is one of my favorite ones from her interview with Charlie Gibson of ABC News. Let's see if we can find this one. Let's see. Oh, yes. Here we go. There's so many. It's really a shame, folks. I've only got a 2-hour show. It's just a shame because I've literally got at least 5 or 6 hours worth of this stuff. But let's just tackle one of Sarah Palin's little lies to Charlie Gibson.
Have you ever met a foreign head of state?
I have not, and I think if you go back in history and if you ask that question of many vice presidents, they may have the same answer that I just gave you.
So Sarah Palin has never met a foreign head of state, and so she says that if you go back in history and you ask all these other vice presidents, that a lot of them wouldn't have met a foreign head of state either. Ms. Palin, you do realize we have the Google, right? Okay, look, I'm not going to go all the way back in history, but of all the 40-some-odd people that have been vice president, every single one of them has met a head of state before they became vice president, even going all the way back to John Adams, who was an emissary to England and France and so on. But let's just talk about my lifetime. I was born in 1968. So let's just look at the people who either became vice president or ran for vice president just since I've been alive. Edmund Muskie, U.S. Senator, met lots of them. General Curtis LeMay, he was in charge of the Berlin airlift, met lots of foreign heads of state. Tom Eagleton, the disgraced guy who had to resign from the campaign, he was a U.S. senator. He met lots of foreign officials. Sergeant Shriver of the Shriver Kennedy clan, he was an ambassador to France, so pretty much he met some. Spiro Agnew was the governor of Maryland up until Sarah Palin, the least qualified person to be vice president. He met a whole bunch of foreign heads of state. Moving up to 72, Gerald Ford was a U.S. representative who had met many foreign heads of state. 1974, Nelson Rockefeller, U.S. senator, who had met many foreign heads of state. Bob Dole, a U.S. senator, 76, run for vice president, had met many heads of state. Walter Mondale, 76, who won the vice presidency, was a U.S. senator who had met many heads of state. 1980, George H.W. Bush, well, he was in charge of the CIA, he was in the Congress, he met tons of heads of state. 1984, Mondale's failed pick, Geraldine Ferraro, she was a U.S. representative, she had met many foreign heads of state. Lloyd Benson in 1988 from the Dukakis-Benson ticket was a U.S. senator who had met many foreign heads of state. Dan Quayle, who actually won the vice presidency, and up to Sarah Palin was the least intelligent person running for vice president. He was a U.S. rep. He met lots of heads of state. Admiral Stockdale, remember him? Remember Mr. Who Am I and What Am I Doing Here from 1992, Perot's running mate? He had met many heads of state. Al Gore was a U.S. senator and vice president. He met many heads of state. Jack Kemp, running with Bob Dole in 1996, U.S. senator, met lots of heads of state. Dick Cheney, 2000, well, of course, he was a former Ford administration guy, so he had met lots of heads of state. Joe Lieberman, 2000, U.S. senator, met lots of heads of state. And 2004, John Edwards, U.S. senator, met many foreign heads of state. Oh, and let's not forget, 2008, Joe Biden, Senate Foreign Relations Committee, it goes without saying, has met many foreign heads of state. So there you go. Sarah Palin, you are the only vice president nominee in my lifetime who has never met a foreign head of state. This is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical can't talk today. Home for truly radical progressives. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. And Sarah Palin gets me all round up. I can't even talk straight. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the show, 50 after the hour. And our guest a couple of segments ago, we were speaking with Merrill Runyon, who's written this this great book called Unite and Concur. The basic theme of the book is that, you know, we got to get past the nastiness and talk about the issues in the campaign. And I guess my question is, really? I mean, I remember that Al Gore and John Kerry and, you know, now Barack Obama have run pretty strong issue-related campaigns talking about, you know, what the issues are. And it seems like the American people really don't react to that. They don't react to this issues thing. They react to gut-level things. They react to identity politics. They react to who's the guy I want to have a beer with. And they react to all these stupid smears. I mean, the election of Bush in 2000 and 2004 pretty much, you know, showed us that you can lie with impunity. You can get away with it. You can just tell whatever stories you want to tell. You can smear your opponent any way you want to. And the American people will eat it up. And you know, Stevie, I'm thinking about, you know, there was that famous cover in the UK, the London, I forget which paper it was, where it said, how could 59 million people be so dumb?
Yep, that was the Evening Standard, I think.
Evening Standard, thank you. Yeah, how can 59 million be so dumb? And it kind of reminds me of, there's a Mike Judge movie that didn't get a lot of play. It's called Idiocracy.
Yes.
You might see it on cable now and then. For those of you who haven't seen it, the basic theme of it was that all the dumb people are the ones that don't use birth control and believe in, you know, crazy religions that tell them to have, you know, 15 kids and get their girlfriends knocked up in high school and you know, the typical, you know, most of the Sarah Palin story. And so all the dumb people breed and breed and breed. Meanwhile, the smart people are busy having careers and going to college, and they only have two kids, if that. And so after years and years, after 500 years, America is run all by stupid people, and, you know, the pro wrestler is the president. And so I'm wondering, you know, how close to the truth is that?
It's really scary, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I talk to people on this show all the time that seem to be reasonable, intelligent human beings that are like you and I, kind of mm-hmm. up in arms about this. On the other hand, I talk to my friends and relatives as well, you know, back in Idaho and other places. I had a big, long email conversation with a friend of mine who considers himself kind of a libertarian-ish Republican. And which most of your Western state type Republicans are that way. They're more of your libertarian style, you know, stay off my land, leave me alone, government can't tell me what to do type folks, right? Rugged individualists. So we had this big long conversation about the lipstick on a pig thing. He says that he believes that Barack Obama knew exactly what he was saying, and he purposefully said lipstick on a pig to refer to Sarah Palin being the pit bull with lipstick, which I had to explain to him that even if you follow that metaphor, then what Obama was saying is that Sarah is the lipstick and McCain is the pig. So he wasn't even calling her a pig, right? But anyway, we have this long email conversation about it, and I went into depth about, you know, you have daughters. Sarah Palin believes your daughter shouldn't be able to have a birth control education, or believe that if they get raped by a relative, that they should be forced to have their kid, have that rapist baby. I went through, you know, point after point after point after point on what McCain Palin would do for this country, what they've said they would do for this country, how it would be another 4 years of Bush-Cheney maladministration. And after all that, after page, paragraph after paragraph of all these, you know, well-constructed arguments on the facts and the issues, he comes back and says, you know, well, I don't really like McCain very much, but the libertarian in me just couldn't vote for a Robin Hood like Obama. A Robin Hood. You know, you're going to steal from the rich and give to the poor. And it's not like my friend is rich by any means, right? You know, Obama's tax cuts would benefit everybody underneath $250,000 a year. And he's well under $250,000 a year. But it goes to this thing that, you know, Merrill talked about a little bit. And I want to get into this a little more, is something that George Lakoff talks about. And it's about framing. And it's about how these elections are won. People aren't voting based on issues. People are voting based on personality, on story, on framing. And so here's what Barack Obama needs to do, the Obama campaign needs to do right now to get this thing back on track. And the number one thing is to stop validating John W. McCain's frames, okay? First of all, what does John W. when you think of John W. McCain, what's the first word that pops in your head? Maverick. Right? That's the first word. That's the thing. They're trying to brand him the Maverick. He's the Maverick. He's the Maverick. He goes against the Republican Party. He stands up to his party. He's an agent of change. He's trying to hijack that change label from Barack Obama.
Actually, the first word that stuck in my head was zombie. Is that right?
Yeah. Right after zombie, yeah. Maverick. Or POW, right? That's the other one.
Yeah,
POW,
yeah, of course.
Right? So here's the deal is Obama's campaign came out with an ad to fight against the Maverick status. And what did the ad say? All through the ad, he's not a Maverick. He's no Maverick. Not really a Maverick. He's not a Maverick. What word did you just hear four times? Maverick. When you're trying to counteract somebody's frame, you don't do it by mentioning their frame. Negating their frame validates their frame. Lakoff titled his book, Don't Think of an Elephant. What did you just think of? You thought of an elephant, right? When you try to negate what somebody says, even if you're right, even if you're absolutely right about the negation of what they're saying, by saying it, you make it real. You make Maverick real. So stop validating his frames. And the second thing I want the McCain, want the Obama-Biden ticket to stop doing, stop boosting the personal stories of McCain and Palin. How many times have you heard it out of Biden or Obama's mouth? Well, John W. McCain, he served our country admirably. We honor his service. He was an honorable man. We honor his service. Stop doing that. It should be a given that we honor the service of anybody who has been in the military, and someone like John McCain who's got this POW story behind him. Stop boosting it, though. Stop repeating it. He's a great guy, but people are just going to hear he's a great guy. John McCain has been my friend in the Senate for years. They're not going to hear the rest of what you have to say, Senator Biden. Stop boosting their stories. The way to frame this here, the way to rebuild this, is to reframe McCain as old and out of touch and a fake and a liar, because that's what he is. He's a guy with 9 houses and a multimillionaire heiress wife, and he's successfully getting away with painting Barack Obama, the kid who grew up on food stamps with a single mom, as an elitist. The way you rebuild this is you rebuild this as McCain will do anything to win. He'll do anything. He's an opportunist. He'll do anything to win. And if you have to mention his POW or his military past at all, throw the words 20th century in it. Throw 20th century in it. Say John McCain was a fine soldier of the 20th century. John McCain suffered terribly in the 20th century. Keep saying 20th century. I guarantee you, you see some of those poll numbers start to boost. And finally, rebuild the Obama story. That was what was so beautiful about the Democratic convention and overall about the primaries. And he used this to great effect against Hillary Clinton. Build up his story of coming from nothing, coming from nowhere, coming from a broken family, coming from a mixed race family, fighting against all odds, working hard, worked hard to put himself through college, went to tough schools, worked hard. Build up that Obama image as one of us. As it could happen to any of us. If Barack Obama can make it, then your kids can make it, whether they're black or white or Mexican or Asian, whether or not they've come from a good family, whether or not they've got poverty in their background. It doesn't matter. If I can make it, you can make it. I'm one of you. I know where you live. I don't have 9 houses. I know how tough it is to pay student loans. I know what it was like to grow up on food stamps. Start doing that, Barack. You're going to see those poll numbers go up. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Once again, 5 hours a show and 2 hours to cram it into. So we'll see you next week with more of the fun from us radical progressives. For Stevie Lee, I'm Radical Russ saying good day and take care of each other.